The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got a lot going on today. We've got a baptism. I love baptisms. I think they're great. And we've got communion going on. It's a busy, busy day. So we're going to get right to it. But first, you know me, I can't help but get excited about little pieces of trivia and stuff. There's a couple definitions I want to share with you because I think they're profound for us. A nice little coincidence. On this day of Laken Sky Jensen's baptism. The first word is yam. It's a Hebrew word. Translates sea. Here's the problem with this word. The Sea of Galilee isn't actually a sea. Right? It's a freshwater lake. It's actually not that big. It's about 8 miles across, 13 miles long. So, knowing that it's a freshwater or fresh body of water, and that bodies of salt water are called seas, fresh water, they're called lakes. So, why did the Hebrews call this body of water yam, or sea? It's really simple. Yam comes from a root word that means to roar, right? So for the Hebrews, seas were roaring waters. They didn't think of them in terms of fresh and salt that way. What defined a sea was that it roared. And because of the winds that blow over the Sea of Galilee, causing those storms, it was not unusual, and is not unusual, for the Sea of Galilee to roar. But in truth, The Sea of Galilee isn't a sea at all. It's a lake. Now, the other word is Shamayim. It's the word that is translated heaven. So when we speak of the bread of heaven, we're talking about the bread of Shamayim. But Shamayim just means from on high, from the heights, from up there. Right? And it's also the same word that we translate as sky. So today, we are talking about the lake and the sky. I just thought that was really cool. Anyway, a lot going on. We should get right to it. You know me. I tend not to get too fussed about the big miraculous things, but the little things in the text that actually communicate the deeper, more profound, more powerful truths for us. And in the last 3 weeks, we've been dealing with some big, impressive things happening around this lake of Galilee, this lake that roars with the wind. First off, we have the disciples being taken away by Jesus. They go in a boat, their little getaway on the water, you know. Everyone likes a vacation on the lake. But the people follow him. And he takes pity on them, and he teaches them. But they didn't bring any food. So Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and feeds the multitude. Big impressive thing. Then last week, we read about how Jesus, as they were finishing up their meal, told the disciples, go ahead and get on the boat. You go on ahead. You take off. I'm going to take care of this crowd. And he dismisses the crowd, and he goes up onto the mountain to pray. And when he comes back down, he can look out and he can see them struggling against this roaring water. The wind was blowing, and the waves were crashing. Now, in the Gospel of John, it says they had only made it out 3 or 4 miles. So he could look right out there and see them. So in our gospel text, we read about Jesus walking on the water to reach them. And how they freaked out when they see him on the water, thinking he's a ghost. And he gets into the boat, and the winds are calm, and the sea is placid. This roaring water that was going to kill them. Through this roaring water, Jesus comes to them and brings them life. Now today, we're dealing with the aftermath of all of that. See, he dismisses the crowd. Sends them on the way. Go on home. Goes up and prays. Sees the storm. Goes out and saves the disciples. And they go on ahead to the north shore of this lake, Galilee. But the crowd comes back the next day to where Jesus had dismissed them. Because they know that he sent the disciples on ahead in a boat, and it was the only boat there. So they assumed he would be there when they returned in the morning, ready for breakfast. And they're looking around, and he's nowhere to be found. And they're all just bumfuddled. Where did Jesus go? Well, we know he's up in Capernaum. You know, the disciples were headed back up toward Capernaum, North Shore. We're going to go up there and see if we can find him. We've got some other boats here, came from Tiberias. Let's hop in them and let's scootle on up and see if we can find Jesus. So they take the boats across. They pass through these waters, these roaring waters of the Lake of Galilee. And they arrive at Capernaum and start looking around for him. And they find him. And you would expect when they ask, Jesus, when did you get here? They're asking, well, did you like run really fast? 13 or 10 15 miles around the lake to get here? Or was it some great miracle? Did you walk on the water? That's not what they're asking at all. They're asking, Jesus rightly tells us, is we're hungry. Where's the grub? Got some more of that bread? We know you had 12 baskets full. Give it a little blessing. We can have some munchies. You know. They passed through the waters not to follow Jesus. They passed through the waters to fill their bellies. This is what they were seeking after, food to fill their stomachs. And Jesus knows it. So he calls them on it. He says, don't try to work for this bread that you're going to eat and be hungry a little bit later. Work for the bread that satisfies you eternally. And they don't get it. People never get it, do they? So they're going, ooh, bread that won't make me hungry again. I want that. Where can I get that? Can I order it? What do I got to do it? This is a bread from heaven, from the sky. Like the manna is bread from the sky. Where do I get that bread? What must I do? And their question is just really telling. They ask Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God? In other words, we want the bread. We must do something to get this bread from the sky, bread from heaven. What are the godly works that we should do that will win us this bread? See, I love Jesus' responses when the people ask really dumb questions like this. He always takes the question and he turns it on its head. See, they're asking, what godly works should we do? And his response is, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. That little phrase right there. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Sounds like he's saying, reading this translation, that if you want this eternal bread, what's the work that you have to do? You have to believe in the one that God sent. You have to believe in Jesus. If you believe hard enough, if you believe right enough, then you will receive this bread that satisfies for eternal life. But that's not what he's saying at all. No, he's turned the whole thing on his head. They're asking what godly work they should do. And he says, this is God's work, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. You can't choose to believe. Not rightly. Not rightly. Only God can choose for you to believe. This is God's work, not yours. You aren't saved by the godly works that you do. You aren't saved by the godly choices that you make. You aren't satisfied with the bread from heaven by the choices you make, by the things that you do. you are not saved from the power of sin and death by your own choice, but by grace through faith. It's God's work, not yours. Now, on a communion Sunday, on a Sunday when we are having a baptism, this is actually a profoundly important point to make. Because little Lake and Sky is just an infant. We have no idea what's going on in her little head. What's most likely going on in her little head? Something between, boy, I'd wish that guy would stop droning on, I want to go back to sleep. And, wow, do I need my diaper changed? Or, am I getting hungry? It's about as far as it goes with little Lake and Sky right now. So how can we bring her forward and baptize her? What work has she done to merit this baptism? To make it worthwhile, to make it powerful. And likewise, when you come forward to the table to receive the bread and the wine, what good and godly work have you done to deserve this meal from heaven? Nothing. Nothing. For if it was up to how well the godly works that you could do, you could never work hard enough to earn the bread from heaven. For your hunger, your spiritual hunger to be satisfied eternally. You could never do enough, work hard enough, choose rightly enough to come forward and to be washed with this water, and for that water to have power through your choice to wash away your sins. It's not within you. Because these are not our works. Baptism is not the work of the baptized. Communion, this meal from heaven, is not the work of the diners. It's the work of the one who provides the meal, who commands you to come, take and eat, take and drink. It is the one who commands you to come and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, the power of communion to satisfy the soul comes not from the bread and the wine, comes not from those who take and eat and take and drink, but it comes from Him whose flesh was given, whose blood was shed to save us from the power of sin and death. It is the bread and the wine with the Word that works forgiveness of sins. In the same way, baptism is not powerful because of any choice that we make. It is powerful because of Him who commanded it. That the water with the Word works the forgiveness of sins and salvation. It works faith when and where the Spirit wills. This is an important piece. And for me, this is the final piece for us. The word Spirit. which in Hebrew also means breath, and wind, right? It is the wind that brings the promise. It is the breath that carries the word. This wind, for this breath of heaven, or this wind from the sky, this wind from the sky that blows across the waters of the Lake Galilee, turning them into roaring waters. This is not a baptism of water and choice through the Word of God. This is a baptism of water and Spirit. In other words, this is a baptism of lake and sky. Amen.